You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your word. Spirit of God, honor. Honor the wonderful benefits, the wonderful outworking that you are able to do because of our Lord and his saving grace, in order that, Father, you would be pleased with the outworking of that which exalts and honors your wonderful person. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we've studied the Gospel of John in the upper room at this point in chapter 15, and we found the Lord is going and making it very clear that the opposition, the opponents of him, they're going to go and crucify him shortly. And therefore, they need to know that the Jews are going to reject him and the Gentiles are going to go along with them. So that they, as he is going to be hated, they're going to go and, not being able to get rid of him, they're going to go and God is going to go and show his wonderful person in the church, the body of believers, the whosoevers that are going to believe in the light of Acts chapter 2. So, and God makes it very clear, and we're in his presence, so here we are in God's presence, God's presence, and we're reading what he said. So if you can always keep that in mind, we're in God's presence, and I'm reading in his presence what he said back then. So it's pretty good. Now, in the light of that, so, God, what did you say? Well, he said, I made it clear to them that the people that are going to crucify him have seen his words and works, heard his words and seen his works, and for 3 1/3 years he has demonstrated his wonderful person who he is, and they're going to crucify him. And they're going to go, and they are extremely guilty. Everyone's guilty. Everyone's dead in trespasses and sin. But they have been given all of this opportunity to be before me, and they are using it, using being before me as a cloak. And you'll remember, as you have in verse 22, if I had not come these and spoken unto them, and I did, they had not sinned, but they do. Not now. They have no cloak, no pretense, no covering for their sin. And God made it very clear that I have gone and they have used, how are they going to handle their exposure to God in Christ? They're going to crucify him. That's what they're going to do. Now, that can't be repeated, what has happened, but it's going to be shown in a different way, and they're going to have to live with it so far, all the way into the Laodicean age, which is where we are, before his coming. Now, having said that little bit, he then makes it very clear, verse 26, but when, God, who's going to go and put all this together? When the Comforter has come, he will go, come to you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. He comes from God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And he comes, and he's going to go and testify, verse 26, he's going to proceed from the Father, and he shall testify of me. He's going to bear witness about me. That's what his job is. His wonderful assignment is to go and take the person and work of the Son of God on Calvary's cross and demonstrate the awesome truth and glory of that to the world and forever. And he's doing that. So that's his assignment. And you ought to be encouraged, because what I'm telling you, can you fight darkness? No. All the darkness in the world can't put out the light. And when you're going to trust me, receive me as your Savior, then you have to know that the Spirit of God is going to withstand and help you understand, as he withstands. He's going to help you understand why all the negative, everything that's zero, has no positiveness to it, is against God, discounts God, has nothing to do with the reality and practicality of God's wonderful person. And the Spirit of God's ministry is going to do that. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it. So be of good cheer, because we're just little old vessels of dust. And verse 27, and ye shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And God's going to go on the day of Pentecost and do a wonderful thing and fill all these believers, including these 11. And they're going to go and show God's awesome person to the world in a way that the world is going to be stuck with, because the world, they're just going to be there. And now it isn't a direct shot, isn't a direct shot like they did before his crucifixion. But he in them, is going to show himself. And that's the only sign he's going to give them. Now, in the light of all of that, God's wonderful working and his assignment to whosoever's are to be saved, sanctified, and set apart to serve, and they're going to do so. And in the process of doing so, they're going to go and show God in a most wonderful way. And over to chapter 14 again. So you can see it's going to be a wonderful thing. Chapter 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. So God's going to give a wonderful, wonderful exhibit of the relationship of the believing heart to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go and show itself. And we shared together in chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And we shared, so far as we turned the pages of God's recorded word, that God's going to show his wonderful person and in a relationship that's awesome. And it's all going to be about, because the believing heart has a personal relationship to Almighty God. Therefore, he's going to say, well, God, how is Peter, James, and John going to be? How are we supposed to be? I give you my peace, verse 27, my life, my love, my joy, my friendship. It's all about your relationship, if you're saved, to an awesome God for awesome reasons, to show forth his wonderful person. Now, that's all, and you're going to be his witnesses, and you're to be, believers are to be his witnesses, and God's going to show the reality and the truth of God, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and you can't tell a lie. Everything has to be real. There's nothing make-believe. It's all real. And the Spirit of God's going to go and do his wonderful work in the heart, and his witnesses, personal, private, precious, to say the least. We're going to have that unique relationship. Let me give it to you a little different way, maybe, that'll help you. You live in your body, this body you have, with the blood, brains, bones, and all of the different things. And we got all of these things we live in. This is the house we live in. When we're done with it, we put it in the ground and bury it, whatever we do. And we get rid of it. Now, we live inside of that body. We do. Soul and spirit. Well, that's all we live. A person's inside. Now, when I talk about oneness, which he's going to talk about, that's the oneness that you have with God. If you're not going to be able to explain it or feel it. You are one with your body. Is anyone out of their body? No. You're all in your body. And you can't even divide it up to put it into to understand it. You are one with that body that you live in. You are one in Christ like that. More so. More so. You need to have that in your head. That's a oneness. A unique, wonderful one. It's a relationship. So when your left hand is over here, your right hand is saying the same thing over here about you, isn't it? And your left foot and your right foot, wherever you are, however you are, your whole body is showing your wonderful person who lives in, you live inside this body. Christ, you receive Christ as your Savior, and God comes into the body. You're not your own, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20. You're not your own. You're to glorify God in your body and the spirit, which belong to God. Now, that's what you're to do in a unique and wonderful way. Now, having said that, and you're going to do that in the world, and the world's going to go, and what do we know about the world of the Lord Jesus that crucified him? Well, they were able to see him and hear his works and see and healing and everything. They had everything. And they went and crucified him. Now, here we are, it's our turn on planet Earth, and here we are now. Now, the world hated back then. They hated and persecuted Jesus Christ, and the Lord rebukes them strongly in Acts chapter 15, etc. He rebukes them now. But here we are now, and the world hates and persecutes us. And so not everyone does that, but people do that, especially other groups and that kind of thing. They're going to go. And they do it because Christ, you're going to live for Christ and honor Christ and you should be his witness, and you're going to have a certain amount of people that don't like Christians, that don't like you. You're going to have that. They're somewhere out there, and you're going to meet them somewhere, somehow. Hopefully they will. And say, well, no one hates me, then that's not good. Something's wrong. No one hates you. What do you mean? What are you doing? You have to be dead, you know. So that's the first group. Then we got a second group, and they're in the dark, and they have no sight and no light. They have no good understanding of light or darkness, and they're there, and they can't, because how can you understand sight if you never had it? How do you understand light if you've never seen it? How do you understand life if you've never had it? You can't. But, so there's this group out there that are there, and they're there, generally speaking, and so when someone comes along that is walking in the light and having the life of the Lord God in their heart and head and enjoying it, they don't know what to do with that kind of person. They don't know what to do with it. And they can have all kinds of ways of dealing with that kind of person as they choose. And then adding to that, if I can, and then there's the group that's the nice group. And they just are nice and polite and understandably, and it helps our world to be a little better. And they don't get in front of you in the grocery store line and things like that. And they're nice. But that's nice, isn't it nice? Sure it is. Except those nice people really aren't so nice if you pin them down. And that, we've shared it 100 times because I remember it. The little old lady sitting in the porch that would give you, come by after school and give you an oatmeal cookie and some lemonade, you know. And wonderful, 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 you know. Wasn't she nice? Until you bring up, ma'am, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you're lost and dead in trespasses and sin. No more cookies. No more cookies. Do you understand? As long as you don't bring up that relationship that they don't have, you can get along nice. When they're put on the spot, not so. All I'm trying to get you to see and think about for a second is that as a believer is in the world, they're going to be, God tells them, the world's going to hate them. And I'm trying to help you see there's all the different categories of peoples or attitudes, and they all show up when you bring them face to face with God. And they don't want that, and they will crucify him again. Again and again. They just don't want that to happen. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now God, in your wonderful grace, you tell us. So you always make everything clear. So therefore, in verse chapter 16, God, the Spirit of God's ministry is going to help you through all of this. So you aren't going to do it, and it isn't about you, it's about him. So don't get all upset. I don't want to be offensive. No, if you're going to trust God, you're going to be offensive. But it isn't you, it's light. Light is offensive to darkness. And if you're going to enjoy a wonderful personal relationship to Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in whose presence we sit, then you're going to be, people aren't going to care for that. They don't understand it. Now, so God, what'd you say? Chapter 16, you continue. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. I have told you these things so that you will not be offended. I don't want you, I'm giving you all of this. I don't want you to, I'm speaking them. I'm making it very clear. I'm saying it with the result that it's going to keep being working in your life, that you are not to be, I don't want you offended. Offended. Now what's offended? Offended is a old way to say, if you are going out and trying to catch a rabbit, and you're going to go try to catch a rabbit, and in the old way, and you have a stick, I suppose, a stick, and you put a little bait, rabbit lure on it, and a little stick, and put in the trap, and the rabbit hops along, and the rabbit sees the trap stick, the bait stick, and the rabbit looks around, nothing around, and the rabbit goes and grabs that bait, and whatever it is, and grabs the bait, and pulls, and the trap, boom, drops right around it. That's the word offensive. Trap stick. To trap you. A trick, the bait, to trap. The trick, to trap you. What did you say, Lord? I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to be trapped, stumble, caught up in what I'm telling you. The danger is you're going to get caught up in it. And you're going to say, it isn't real, it isn't true, it doesn't work, and you're going to be offended. I don't want you offended by what I'm telling you. It's overwhelming. I just said it. It's a oneness. It's an awesome thing God has done to give you his wonderful person in our ordinary fleshly body. Wow. That's a wonderful thing. Now, God, so here we are looking. Now, there's two ways to go in the little time we have. So, we'll go this way. If you would, remember in chapter 13, look up if I can. Chapter 13, go over there, we'll start that way. I don't want you stumbling. I'm telling you what is real and right for you. It's not a make-believe thing. It's not a pie in the sky. It's real. I expect it. I'm going to back it up. The Spirit of God is going to what? God himself said, I'm going to back up what I said in you. Now, what more do you want? Who else do you want to confirm it? Some church, diocese, something, somewhere. No. God said, I confirm what I'm telling you. The Spirit of God's ministry, verse 25, 26, 27, is that's what it's for. And so I don't want you to be offended, tripped, tracked, trapped. By what? What I'm telling you. Therefore, chapter 13, and if I can, verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So therefore, the servant is not greater, the slave is not greater than his Lord, is not. So if they do that to the Lord, if they do that to the master, what are they going to do to his servants? Sliding over to chapter 15. And you will notice in verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not slave, is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and they have, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours, as we shared last time. So here we are looking, and God, you're going to go, and a servant, a slave, that's right, that's what you're going to be. And if it's going to be, if they're going to do it to me, they're going to do it to you. Now, don't be offended at that. And don't say, well, I don't want that. I don't want to discuss it, God said. If I'm going to be in you and go down the road, a corridor of time, then that's how it's going to be. Hang on. It'll come. It's just straight. There's no way out of it. We'd like it. That's our trouble. Hang on. Or if you would please, to chapter 12. John chapter 12. And picking up, if I can, as you would remember, wonderful statement, our Lord says, in verse 26, 12 and 26, 12 and 26. If, and it may not, it may be, it's possible, if any man serve me like deacons serve, waiting on tables, serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, if they do that to the Lord, aren't they going to do that to his servants? And if you're right behind me, standing right there to serve me, aren't they going to spot you? Isn't that what's going to happen to Peter? They're going to say, Peter, aren't you one of his men? Aren't you one of his disciples? Ah, and Peter would say what? Oh, no. Oh, no. Remember? Yeah. Oh, I don't want to. Aren't you one of them? You have that little something about you that's like him now. So having said that, God, here we are to serve you. And God, it's a wonderful thing. Now don't stumble and don't get tricked and trapped and all upset because I told you to stay with me. Stay with me. Hang on to that. Stay with me. Oh, but the people, I'm going to get in trouble. The people aren't going to like it. They're going to identify me with you. Ah, God said, that's just what I want to happen. Now, having said that little bit, so then we'd go, and all of them you know, in God's wonderful outworking, and that we just read we'll go back over to chapter 14. Picking up. Remember these things. I don't want you to be offended. What's offensive? You'd be surprised. Chapter 14. I'm going directly in the light of the context. Verse 3. And if I go away, remember our Lord, if I go, and he's going to go to the Father, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what I want. Don't be offended at that. I want you to be where I am. That's what I want you to be. What about my family, my job? I've got all those things, you know. And again, don't let it throw you. Don't let it throw you. Don't wrestle with something. Just enjoy it. You're going to be with me. Over to chapter 14, verse 20. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Isn't that wonderful? He said. Now, don't stumble over that. This thing and that thing, and then all the little things, you know. I've got to go to the cross and all of that, and to enjoy. How can I enjoy a crucified life without going to the cross? I have to go to the cross and enjoy a crucified life so that I have a crucified message. Preaching Christ's death till he comes. I've got to have a crucified life. I'm not a testimony. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and God, you're going to go. And verse 25. 14:25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. What am I telling you all these things for? So that you would understand the wonderful benefits and the wonderful experience you're going to have. But what about my friends, my family, my job, my wealth, my future? It isn't about that. I thought it was. No, it isn't. It isn't about any of that. And we make it that, don't we? What about my family and future? Well, your family's going to get older, and you're going to get sick, weak, and everything. So how's that for your future? Let's just move the clock along. I love myself. And then wait. Take a picture of yourself. Go look at yourself 10 years ago in a mirror. If you could do that, that'd be pretty good. Go look at a picture of yourself. You're changing. And whatever you think you've got, you've only got it for 5 minutes. And it's all gone. And we're trying to hang on. And this is a hope. God said, listen, I'm trying to give you the one. Don't stumble, because I'm trying to tell you some wonderful things. You don't belong here. You belong where I am. And I'm going to go and be in you. My Father's going to be in you. I'm going to be in you. The Spirit of God is going to be in you. All of my wonderful being is going to be in you. You can't have more. There's nothing missing. I'm going to be your God and Savior in a most wonderful way. Wow. And therefore, God, you say. Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. But they're all sad. You would rejoice because I'm going. Because I said, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I'm going to go to the Father. Aren't you excited? Oh, no. See, you're stumbling. I'm trying to tell you some wonderful things. You don't understand them, so you're too stupid at the moment. Brutish is the word, Old Testament word, brutish. You aren't paying attention to what I'm telling you. I'm trying to help you understand something. And we're caught up. Chapter 5, do you ever read chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. No, good pastor. No, we don't bother with them and understand the truths of them. And we lose out. Because he said, I told you, don't stumble, don't be offended. I'm telling you these things so that you'll be encouraged and strengthened and stimulated in a most wonderful way. Chapter 15 and in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, why are you going to stumble? I'm trying to help you. But everyone else is happy because they got a raise in pay, or they didn't, whatever it is, and I didn't. God said it isn't a raise in pay, or it isn't whether the benefit is or it isn't. I'm your Father. I'm your benefit. I'm it, all alone. God, all alone, you're everything. That's right, all alone. But I need to win the lottery. And I never played the lottery, so don't come after me now. I wouldn't, if I was the only one, to get the ticket. Do you understand? If I got the only ticket to win $1,000, I wouldn't win. Do you understand? I had the only ticket. And somehow, it won't work. Now God, and he tells you, listen, I hope you're trusting me. And you bet your boots, that's my life. And I had plenty of opportunity for the other. That's my life. Absolutely. God, you could bet, I'll go with nothing. And I did. And no problem. Why? God, are you able to be God? Absolutely. Absolutely. Then trust me. And here we are, going down the corridor of time. And God, don't stumble. Don't stumble when I'm telling you something, trying to help you understand and to enjoy the wonderful truths that I would have you to understand and to enjoy. Chapter 17, verse 7. Well, yeah, chapter 17. Well, before I do that, go down to verse 17, better, of chapter 15. 15 and verse 17. These just pick up these things. I command you that you love one another. I want you to understand these things. Verse 21. In verse 21, we read all these things. So God, you keep saying all these things, and all these things are all these things. And I don't want you to stumble. I don't want you to fall down and trip and get all messed up. I don't want you to do that. You have to learn and trust me. And therefore, God, what's the problem? Well, people are offended. They're offended. They're offended what I do and how I do and when I do. And they don't want them to trip over what I do. Over to Matthew chapter 11 for a moment. I think it's chapter 11. And you remember, we can't get into all of it at this point, but you get a little of it, that God wants what he wants, and he doesn't want you to get debating and thinking and stumbling around. When God said something very plain, he said, here's what you need, and he puts it in their hand, puts it in your hand. Take it, God. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, Joshua 1:3, then take it. I already gave it to you. Take it. I'm not trying to trick you. And I don't want you to talk about it, because then you're going to stumble. And then you're going to have all the reasons and all the different things in your head and heart that you won't believe it. Because you'll have to talk about it, think about it. And that means you'll never get it. I'll think about being saved. Well, probably you may not get saved if you're going to think about it. What do you have to think about? You need another breath? No. I don't want any shortness of breath air. I'm going to grab the air the minute it comes. If I lose it, I'm going to grab the next breath of it. And God, if you need to be saved, then be saved. What's the debate? Lost, saved. Dead in sins, alive. Be saved. Well, so here's Matthew chapter 11. And you're going to recall, if you would, in the process, John. Remember, John the Baptist is in prison. He's going to lose his head, etc., etc. And in the process, he sends his disciples. And verse 4, 11, 4. Matthew 11, 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things, which ye do hear and see. Now, they're the witnesses, and they go and tell everything that Jesus has been doing. And verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the dead and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. All of these things are happening in big time. Verse 6, and blessed, and you tell John also, you make sure you add this, blessed is he, whosoever, that includes you, John, shall not be offended in me. How I do, and when I do, and if I do, don't be offended. Are you trusting me? Think of what we mumbled through in Sunday school. Knowledge, wisdom, 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 wisdom. Knowledge put to work. God makes everything in his all-wise working perfectly, fitting what he does. And he does it So when we're looking to God, and we don't know, and we don't have the wisdom, we need to fear God and proceed forward. God, in the process of doing that, you're going to do what we do, and you mentioned that in Sunday school too. Don't be offended. God does his wonderful, wonderful work in the human heart by his interruptions. God just interrupts the journey, the path you're on, to get your attention, among other things. Are you paying attention to God's working? Now, God, here we are in your presence. We're reading all these things. And you tell us not to be, you told John not to be offended, not to be offended at what you do, when you do. God, you let this happen over here. And you let this happen over there. And you didn't let it happen over there. God, if anyone's in charge and understands how things are going to go and where they're going to go and the repercussions, God, you do. So we're going to sit tight. Sit tight quietly and in returning and rest, we're going to be saved. And in quietness and confidence, we're going to be strong. Isaiah 30. That's what we're going to do. Quiet. Waiting on the Lord. Right. Now, having said that little bit, over to chapter 12. We'll stay right in chapter 11. Chapter 11. And slide over, if you would. And now, on an illustration will help you. I'm going to read, remember now the cities that people are rejecting Jesus, his words, his works. And so when he comes to the end of chapter 11, come to verse 28. 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor, anybody, Jew, Gentile, all ye that labor, and I will labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn, get your education, your ABCs, learning, and learn of me. 4, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for you unto your souls. 4, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, you know what a yoke is. Now, just think of it, don't have to turn there at the moment. Remember in John chapter 15, 16, don't be offended at what I'm trying to tell you and help you with. Don't let your mind get all cuckoo here and you lose it. Pay attention, because you've got to pay attention. What I'm telling you is a 180 degree turn in your life, to a dynamic change in your life to make something happen. You'll pick that up tonight. Now, therefore, the yoke, who's it in verse 29? The little word pronoun my, M-Y, my yoke. So here's the yoke, ox yoke. And here's the ox under one end, and the you're under the other. Who's under this end of the yoke, as it were? The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's my yoke that's on me. Now, so don't be offended. If the Lord's going to get it, then his servant's going to get it. So they're with him. The Lord, the servant, they're together. So when the Lord gets it, the servant gets it. So here's the yoke, and here's the Lord going down the corridor of time. Here we are, and here we are linked up. My peace, my joy, my love, my friendship, my everything, all personal, locked into us. So here we are going down the corridor of time and looking to God. And as we do so, he's on this end, and we're on this end. So as we're going wherever he goes, in us, God outworking his wonderful life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God doing it. So we're going down the corner of time. Now, and they're going to hate. They hate the Lord. But you're on the other side. Now, would you tell me, if you understand that, and you're linked up to God, you have all the benefits that we've been reading on. I'm telling you all these things so you don't be offended. I'm going to go and give you a wonderful relationship to me that's real and right. So as we go down the corridor, yoked up, why should we trip or stumble over anything. Because on the other side of the yoke is our Lord who said it. And it's yes and amen over here on this side. And I'm on this side, you're on this side of the yoke. And it's yes and amen. So God said, they're telling you, no, it can't be, that really isn't what it means. God didn't mean what he said. And who are you to have such things anyway? And you hear all of that stuff. And then you look on the other side, and there he is, going down the corridor that time, Monday, work, home, school, coming and going. What are we doing? Going down the corridor. Wow. And once I look at him, God said, yes and amen. Don't stumble. Stay close to me. Stay locked in under the yoke. And go down the corridor. And you may what? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, picking up, oh, wonderful psalm, but going directly for time's sake, verse 23, 37, 23, psalm. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and we can, and we do, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Wow. I have been young, and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. Going down that corridor of time. Wow, that's right. You will fall. That's all right. The other side of the oak stays up. Just get up again. You're hooked on. You're locked in. And you go right down the corridor. And someone says, and God said, don't be offended. Don't be offended. If you fall down, and people say, look at him. Now, who does he think he is? No, we're nobody. We're wonderfully, wonderfully nobody in the somebody who saved us. And all of those wonderful things are true. We don't deserve one drop of them. But we got them. We done got them. Now, God said, I don't want you to mess around with it and start having some theological discussion or an unbelieving with unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers are the problem. Now, the unsaved don't bother us. It's people that say, I'm a Christian, but they don't believe that stuff. Ah, that's where you got to be careful there. Wow. You got the idea? Don't be offended. I told you that. You said you're going to be offended. I can't do more. I could. Well, I'll do a little more. I'm trying to get you on the positive side. You understand? It's a wonderful thing. And you ought to say it again. And if you were sat here and you didn't know the time, I would bang this home to you so you couldn't get you out of here without getting it. But one more that you read. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And you know, as you read Isaiah chapter 40, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Think of the yoke locked up with our Lord. and think of the wonderful truth that God is helping them understand. God said, listen, I know, verse 25, 40, 25. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Now God said, listen, then I made the stars, I know them all by name, I take care of everything, and I'm able to go. And verse 28, thou hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, and is all wise, all working, all knowledge, does what he does. He gives power, verse 29, to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength, God, and run, and run, and run. And if you've ever been in sports and stuff, and some of you know, wow, wow, God, God to run. And then there's another kind of running, another kind of strength that makes all of our human energy and abilities as nothing. And that's when God strengthens the heart. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Uh-huh. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he fall, he's going to get up again. That's right. Verse 31. But they that wait, to hold fast, to build, stretch tightly. Hang on, holding tightly. Wow. Stretch, to bind together, to bind it, to tie the package up tightly. Stay tight, stay with it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings. What about the feet? Ah, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that's where you discover the wonderment. God said, don't stumble. Don't be offended when I'm trying to tell you something. I love doing it. I love being who I am and doing what I do. Discover it, you say. Don't stumble. Ah, oh, it doesn't. Going to watch the football game, you know. And you can watch the football game after church. And some will close, you say, whatever. Doesn't matter. Football game's only a football game. The game of life that you're in is awesomely serious, isn't it? That's awesome, personal, the game of life you're in. Yes, sir, man. We're on our way, and Lord, here we are, and we tried to fumble through this, so God help us. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you very much. God, you tried to encourage the dear brethren back then, and here we are. God, do it again for us. Help us to get down the corridor of time under the yoke, God, be able to proceed forward, God, not based on anything in our human strength or energy or knowledge or wisdom or anything. God, nope, all of that, God, belongs on the cross. Nope, here we are, God, to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life, your life. So that all the world might know that, God, you're able to save little old us to the uttermost, all the way to your glory and honor forever and ever. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.